Today is the Feast of the Holy Family. The epistle for today's Mass is taken from St. Paul's Epistle to the Colossians. Brethren, put ye on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, the bowels of mercy, benignity, humility, modesty, patience, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone have a complaint against another, even as the Lord hath forgiven you, so do you also. But above all these things, have charity, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of Christ rejoice in your hearts, wherein also you are called in one body. And be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you abundantly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, in psalms, hymns, and spiritual canticles, singing in grace in your hearts to God. All whatsoever you do in word or in work, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father by him. Please stand for today's Holy Gospel, which is a continuation of the second chapter of the Gospel of St. Luke. When Jesus was 12 years old, they going up into Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast, and having fulfilled the days, when they returned, the child Jesus remained in Jerusalem, and his parents knew it not. And thinking that he was in the company, they came a day's journey, and sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And not finding him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his wisdom and his answers. And seeing him, they wondered, and his mother said to him, Son, why hast thou done so to us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said to them, How is it that you sought me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the word that he spoke unto them. And he went down with them, and came to Nazareth, and was subject to him. And his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus advanced in wisdom and age and grace with God and men. Thus are the words of today's most holy gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear faithful, the scene which we have in today's gospel shows us then the Holy Family fulfilling a natural and a supernatural obligation imposed by Almighty God on the chosen people. They went down to the temple to solemnly celebrate the feast of the Pasch. We can thus see then that religion is indeed a virtue, and it is based on man's very nature. St. Ignatius shows us this quite clearly in his spiritual exercises when he gives us the principle and foundation. He tells us man has been created to praise, reverence, and serve God, and by this means to save his soul. This is then our primary duty, to praise, reverence, and serve God, which in fact is the virtue of religion, rendering to God what is his due. Let us then examine these words of St. Ignatius to help us to understand better this virtue of religion. Firstly then, man has been created by God. From these words then, arise the obligation of the virtue of religion. Man is absolutely dependent upon Almighty God for everything he has. There is never any moment in our lives that we are free from this dependence upon God. Every single instant we exist because God continues to keep us in existence. If God were to forget about us for one split second, we would cease to exist. We would simply disappear. God has to keep us in existence every single moment. All creation then around us is for the glory of God. Every created thing has come from God. Everything then must go back to Almighty God. Material creatures, by their very nature, by the fact that they exist, they simply merely fulfill what God has created them for. They are pleasing God. They are rendering to Him what is due by fulfilling what is part of their nature. Men, on the other hand, of course, we have an intellect and a will. We must use these two faculties then to serve Almighty God in a higher way. We can think, we can desire things, we can will things, and so we must use these two faculties to render Almighty God greater glory. And of course, this we do by our prayers, by honoring Him, by assisting at Mass and so forth. We lift up our mind and our heart to God. We use the things in this world as insofar as they help us to serve Him. We reject the things that stand in our way, that are a hindrance to our salvation. And by doing this then, we merit then our eternal salvation, by our heavenly glory. By rejecting these things, by serving God in our best way. Secondly then, St. Ignatius tells us that man must praise, reverence, and serve God. Man is in fact a creature, but he shares in a certain sense in the very nature of Almighty God. He's been created in the image and likeness of God. This, of course, is our will and our intellect. This is the image and the likeness of God. This is how we are like God in a certain sense. We have a spiritual soul. We have a material body, but a spiritual soul. Our soul is like God with our will and our intellect. And so we have, as I said, this extra obligation to serve God in a higher way. Okay? Other creatures then will serve man in this end. They will help him to help him to serve God. The creatures are here not as an end in themselves, which is one thing that we look at in the exercises. We spend one whole meditation upon this fact, that these creatures are here not as an end in themselves, which is obviously what we make them when we sin. We turn the creatures into an end in themselves. Okay? They are here to assist us. They are here to help us to see God, first of all. We can see the perfections of God in the creatures. And they are also here to help us to serve God. Those things that are bad, obviously, we reject them. They're means, they're occasions for us to merit eternal glory by rejecting these things, by doing away with them, by turning against them, we are meriting our eternal salvation. By using the things that are good, then obviously these things help us to serve God in a more perfect way. Religion, then, is not simply a sentimental thing. It is not some weak sentiment, okay, that makes man feel good. Religion, then, is obviously, the modern liberals claim this. They try to say, oh, it's just something sentimental. It's only of the heart and so forth. Okay. But no, it comes from man's very nature. Man knows in his very nature that he must thank God for his existence and he must render to God this respect, this honor, and this glory which is due to him. This is from our very nature. So even before the Catholic Church, even in the beginning of time, there was no religion. There was a natural religion. Adam and Eve knew in their heart that they owed God this honor. He had created them. He had given them the Garden of Eden. They knew they owed it to God. Obviously, as time goes on, our wills are weakened, our intellects are darkened, and so, of course, God has established the Church to help us. So we know we have a guide now. Okay? We have an official guide, the Church. Okay, and so this obviously helps us to practice our religion. The Church shows us how we are to serve God. Religion also, we can say, is not merely a natural virtue, okay, whereby we honor God as one of His creatures. We are aided, of course, by grace. Man is elevated by grace. Grace lifts up our nature. It enables us to serve God in a supernatural way. This is our supernatural life. This is the life of grace which is in our soul. Grace assists us. It helps our intellect to see things more clearly, obviously. We have all the gifts of the Holy Ghost as well to help us to know what God wants us to do, to show us how we are to serve God. We have our will, which is strengthened by grace. We receive the sacraments to strengthen us, to help us, to nourish our soul. And these then help us to serve God in a more perfect way. And so, obviously, the perfection of all these virtues then lies, of course, in our submission to God. God is our superior, and so we submit ourselves to Him. We obey His commandments, we obey His laws, we follow what He teaches us, and we know that by doing this we're going to save our life. And so religion, of course, then is a Christian virtue. In Christ, then, we are made partakers of the divine nature. And of course, we are admitted into the supernatural life. We are made the sons of God. And we are made the co-heirs with Christ. We've been adopted by God through our baptism. And so we become His children. And so, of course, there is the vast difference then between the supernatural serving of God, which we have in our faith, and simply serving God on the natural level. And this is the vast difference of grace in our soul. It's like a soul which is living in the state of grace, a soul which is dead in mortal sin. There is a vast difference between these two souls. Okay, because it is the grace which is in that soul that gives it life. And this supernatural order then requires a superior knowledge of God that comes to us through our faith. And this, of course, is accompanied by a new hope. We hope in the promises of our blessed Lord, who said that if we are faithful to Him, if we serve Him well, that His Father has a place for us, a mansion for us in heaven. Okay, we have this promise of God. And this, of course, gives us then the supernatural virtues, faith, hope, and charity. It also, of course, then breeds this love, this supernatural love which we must have, which of course is the bond of perfection, which we hear in today's epistle. Okay? Above all these things, have charity, which is the bond of perfection. The supernatural love, love of God, love of our neighbor, and love of ourself, for the sake of God. This supernatural charity then is going to be that which bonds us all together. The supernatural love. Along with, then, the virtues of faith, hope, and charity, our lips then sing new praises to God in the form of a new prayer which our Lord Himself taught us. That, of course, is the Our Father. Our Lord gave us a new prayer that we were to say. And this prayer, of course, contains all the petitions that we make to God, then both on the natural and the supernatural level. It contains, of course, the doctrine of the communion of saints, so we are united, okay, through our blessed Lord. And, of course, it is not only a prayer for each of us individually, but it also is a prayer which unites the whole entire church. And so we should think about this. We pray this every day. We pray a rosary. We often say the Our Father, but do we really think about what this prayer means? When did our Lord give this prayer? It was before His death. Right before His death, He taught the apostles this prayer. This was to be the prayer that was going to unite them. And so do we really think about this when we pray? Do we think that this is uniting us to all of our fellow Catholics? It is uniting us in the church. This is a symbol of our union, this prayer, the Our Father. Not only then have we been taught a new prayer, but we also then have a new sacrifice by which we worship Almighty God. This, of course, is the Mass, and the Mass is the center of our worship and of our religion. All the other sacrifices are united in one, which is at the same time a sacrifice and a sacrament. Of course, we know that this is the same sacrifice of the cross. It is the same action our Lord partook in on Calvary. Is taking place on the altar today. It is in a different manner, an unbloody manner now on the altar. It was a bloody sacrifice on Calvary, but it is indeed the same sacrifice of our blessed Lord. And so, by assisting then at the Mass, the virtue of religion can now sanctify all of our daily actions. So our days are sanctified by our participation in the Mass. Everything should be done then in union with our Redeemer. We should unite ourselves every single day. Obviously, we can't come to Mass every day. But at least on Sundays, we can come to Mass, we can receive Holy Communion, and this should be remembered throughout the week. We should unite ourselves to our Blessed Lord. Everything we do should be united to the cross. We should be offering everything up to our Blessed Lord. He is our head. He is our priest. He is the high priest. He is our teacher, of course, and he is our Redeemer. And so we must unite everything we do to him. My dear faithful, let us pray then today. Pardon me. Let us pray then to the Holy Family, and let us ask them to help us in our own families. Let us ask them to help us to be truly Catholic, that our homes will be truly Catholic in every single aspect, not only in coming to Mass on Sundays, but in every aspect of our lives, that we will be truly Catholic, that our homes would reflect our faith. It cannot be someplace like the world, that if we went into our homes, we would think we were in someone else's house in the world. But our homes must be a place which is truly Catholic. And so let us ask for this grace today to make our homes truly Catholic. Let us ask for our grace today to help make our homes into a refuge. We need a place to go. We're in the world enough. We need a place which is away from all these things. So we need the grace from God for us to be able to do that, to make our home into a little sanctuary, okay, where our Lord can be King and our Lady can be Queen. Let us ask also, of course, for the strength we need to make those changes in our lives, sometimes hard changes, sometimes difficult changes. Okay, but God will give us the grace if we wish to do so. We simply have to ask, and we have to, of course, do our part, keeping ourselves away from the occasions of sin, doing our part with our prayers, being faithful in our homes to make them into a place of refuge where we can pray, where we can practice the virtues in our families and so forth. Our Lord will give us the grace to overcome these things if we truly desire to do so. So let us ask for these graces today. Fathers, pray to Saint Joseph. Mothers, pray to Our Lady. And children, of course, you can pray to our Lord himself. And ask for all those special graces that you need in your duty of state to perfectly follow the good example set by the Holy Family, so that in the end, each of us can come to eternal life in heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.